This is the Ballad of the Pilgrim Cat, and that's exactly what it's about. When the pilgrims landed on that strange, wild strand where they'd make their home in a strange, wild land, there was among them, the least of the crew, a girl of 9, and a pussycat, too. The little girl's name was Mistress Smith, Prudence, God with us, Simplicity Smith. Her hair was as fair as month-old hay, pale thin gold, but was tucked away in a starched prim bonnet exceeding white, lest men be scandalized by the sight of pale gold hair, because for men's souls the proper fare are thoughts of God, not pale gold hair. Her eyes were blue as forget-me-nots that way in England grow in clots at the foot of many a garden wall, a common flower, scarce cherished at all, so the people pass by with hardly a nod, not seeing in flowers the glory of God. As for the cat, 'twas a scandalous tramp, missing an ear, a seaport scamp that roistered in taverns and alleys at night in Plymouth, England, had many a fight with other cats, mastiffs too. Among pirate cats he was head of the crew. A sinful, thievish, graceless knave, an offense to God, and to sin, a slave. No good will come to any child that takes up with such an infamous cat. Beware of Satan's traps and snares, and spurn love of cats. Fall to your prayers. So the elders warn Simplicity Smith, Prudence, God with us, Simplicity Smith. And she bowed her head to hide her tears and bit her lip to calm her fears and prayed the Lord would spare her that, the Pilgrim Fathers versus her cat. She loved this cat. They'd met on the day that the Mayflower ship had sailed away. Fair wind, fair sea, favoring tide, God see us safe, the captain cried. Up anchor now, shake a topsails free, stand by the braces, helm a lee, let her fill, over hard, Lord God of hosts, the mainsail yard is fouled and the standing mizzen brace, a plague on you lovers. This fall from grace was allowed to pass, for upon the sea the language of seamen is commonly free. And so, amid shouts and the squeaking of tackle, the whirling of ropes, and all the debacle, the slatting of canvas, the groaning of masts, as rounding the head they felt the wind's blast, the pipe of the boatswain, the white gull's lone cry, the slap of the waves as the channel rolled by. In all this confusion, modest Miss Prue stood by the ship's rail, and the pussycat too, and standing together, lost England forever. The cat, to be sure, had not planned the trip. He'd stolen aboard to give others the slip. No saint was he in search of God, but seeking a place to eat a cod he'd filched from a fishmonger on the square. That was the reason he was there, a sinner at dinner on a ship of saints. He accepted his fate without complaints, for the patience eagerly sought by sages has been common to cats for ages and ages. From the start of the voyage, naught went well. 'Twas plain that all the vermin of hell had summoned up every infernal power to plague that saintly ship, Mayflower. The beer went bad. The wine was rank. The salt beef casks most plainly stank. The cabins were wet, the wind perverse, the seas were high. The ship's bread worse than even a suffering saint could face. Poor bread brings many a fall from grace. Their faces grew long and their tempers grew short. And some of them spoke of returning to port. 'Tis plain, they said, there's scant reason to head for Virginia so late in the season. The snow flies soon, so all accord must good men shiver to serve the Lord. On others, these arguments all fell flat. They looked for a scapegoat and found the cat. Who brought this thievish scamp aboard midst honest men who serve the Lord? That cat is black, and there's no worse, for all black cats have power to curse. There's witchery in 'em, They're devil spawn, friend of hags. They can cause a storm to spring from out a smiling sea. God save us all, both thee and me. That cat must go. It steals our food. We'll share no ship with Satan's brood. And each pilgrim, wearing his steeple hat, gravely denounced the accursed cat. And none withstood the growing myth, save Prudence, God with us, Simplicity Smith. Warned that she courted a horrid end, alone she stayed the pussy's friend, and hid the cat in her little sea chest containing her hosen, her gloves, and her vest, her shifts, her dresses, her little starched caps, on which the cat took luxurious naps. Starch was nothing for him to dote on, not when he had a real fur coat on. Virginia. That was the shore they sought. Raleigh's Virginia. All else was naught to this golden coast so blessed by the Lord. Earth's paradise, this. Earth's plenteous hoard of plumpest grapes and luscious fruit, apples and pears. And that strange root potato. Here was a food to conjure with, they told Miss Prudence Simplicity Smith. 'Tis lumpish in shape, grows underground. There's some of 'em long, and some of 'em round, and some that have bumps, and some that are smooth, but all of 'em wholesome, goodly food. The spoils is a plaster, will leach out the humors very much faster than linseed or bread dough or essence of yew. Aye, for fluxes and agues 'tis a remedy too. And as for the fruit, 'tis better than meat. 'Tis nourishing, sweet, delicious to eat. 'Twill build up the bones and quicken the brain, strengthen the muscle, banish all pain. A pity that Raleigh, who first found the root, should serve it to peasants, and Irish to boot. So lacking sound facts, they lived upon fable, and nourished their nerves at the glittering table of hope. For hope, indeed, was all they had, their bread being poor, and their beef being bad. So men do commonly venture abroad, accepting poor food with trust in the Lord. Who cares if today is sodden with sorrow? Today must yield to a brave tomorrow. Suffering's a thing inferior to man, and men will outlast it. That is God's plan. Virginia, then. But the winds held foul. The skies but mirrored the ocean's scowl. Her topsails reefed, her storm jibs set, her topsides strained, her cabins wet, her stores reduced, her mainmast sprung. The dogged Mayflower sternly clung to a westward track in a roiling ocean. Her captain, though, had no clear notion of how much northing she gained each day, or if he had, he didn't say. In vain he sought the clouds to probe and sight the sun with his astrolabe. And in vain he pondered on wind and tide and motion ahead and motion aside and added the wind and subtracted the sea and put 4 miles ahead to 10 feet a lee and trusted the compass but doubted the log. And in short did his work in a very thick fog of misinformation. So it came to pass that they missed Virginia but landed in Mass. Picture them now, long weeks on the billows, in sopping wet beds with sopping wet pillows, in sopping wet clothes with sopping wet bread. To be sure, they each had a cold in the head. And then, from the foretop, a high-pitched cry, "Land ho! Land ho! All hands, stand by!" Ahead lay a coast all rocky and rough, a coast without welcome, a coast of rebuff. And yet, the very sight of a coast filled with joy that pious host of pilgrims. And with one accord they knelt on the deck to thank the Lord that he'd brought them safe across the seas to a land of freedom, if not of ease. And with them knelt demure and prim Miss Prudence Smith to give thanks to him who had kept her safe. And she added that she hoped he would do the same for the cat. Although he's bold and his coat is dark, you put two pussycats on the ark, and this is a sort of an ark, said she, that has brought us here across the sea. And seeing there's but one cat on board, please keep him safe. I thank thee, Lord. The cat had never a thought so nice. He looked at the land and dreamed of mice. A land full of mice. And what was more, himself the very first cat ashore. Here's luck, quoth he. I was told of old how surely fortune favors the bold. And here's the proof. Though hungry at sea, a land full of mice is waiting for me. Not very long after, the pilgrims found a tolerable bay, a tolerable sound, and into the water the ship Mayflower let go her anchors, stern and bower. The boats were lowered to the shrill of the block, and they jumped ashore on Plymouth Rock, and wobbled a bit as they walked around, and eyed the rocks and examined the ground. The snow was flying, the wind was shrill, and snow and wind both boded ill. No harvest they found of fruitful vines, no warming sun, only winter's wines that whimpered and moaned neath a sky of lead. They dreamed of plenty, and they lacked for bread. But still they moved their meager store from off that ship to that meager shore. They'd fishhooks and twine and Sheffield blades and pikes and guns against Indian raids. Axes and hammers, mattocks, nails, shovels and saws, planes and pails, draw knives, awls, powder and shot. Scarcely an item that they'd forgot. But though well equipped, they had cause to worry. They'd expected to fetch their port in a hurry. A month, they thought, would put them ashore. But a month had gone by, and then 2 months more. They'd land by fall, having sailed in September, so they thought. They landed in dark December. The ground was too frozen to work with the plow. They'd plenty of seed, but 'twas useless now. For planting, they'd have to wait for the spring, for the thawing of earth, birds on the wing. They must get through the winter as best they could and guard their seed for their future food. And the first thing to do, the very first need, was to build a stout place for storing their seed. And they built it of a stone. There's scarcely a doubt that over the door put a notice, "Keep out." Another notice was placed on the wall, proclaimed most sternly to one and to all that unauthorized persons who pass through the door will be barred from the colony forevermore. They'd be made to depart to the howling wild, whether grandpa, grandma, father, or child. 'Twas harsh in all truth. And yet the need was even harsher to guard that seed. And little Miss Smith was instructed that the same prohibition went for her cat. "Now, Pussy," she said, "you must be good. Don't enter the place where we store our food. And you and I shall share in everything. And isn't it good that I didn't bring my doll Belinda? For she would be as hungry now as thee and me." In truth, she was hungry, and also cold, and she lived in a hut, though but 9 years old, and her plump little hands were often blue. But she was brave, was little Miss Prue, and she helped to find sticks, and had awful tussles on very cold rocks, getting very cold mussels for bait. For the pilgrims longed for a dish of herring, or cod, or indeed any fish. Sometimes they were lucky, and they caught a good cod, which they ate, head and all, with praises to God. And sometimes they caught a turbot, or plaice, or a hake, or a herring, or a little sea dace, or an eel, or perch, or pollock, or bass, or crab, or a lobster, or whiting, or wrasse. And when they were lucky and found a good spot, they fished day and night, and caught such a lot that when they had eaten, and couldn't eat more, they salted it down and put it in store. And soon, in the storehouse, alongside the seed, they got a few fish for their future need. Fish, 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 fish. No cat could ever resist that dish. No cat but shared a terrible wish for fish, 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 fish. No need to dwell on Pussy's dilemma, to remain in grace or have a good dinner. The smell itself produced such a shiver, his claws and his fur and his whiskers did quiver, and his tail went up and his ears went flat. For fish is Satan's lure for a cat. Poor Pussy became the devil's sport. He entered the storehouse, and he was caught, red-handed, or perhaps we should say red-clawed. He was found in the barn of the men of the Lord. Out, out, O Jericho, plague on that cat, he's eaten our fish, begone, fly, scat. They chased him with brooms, with stones, and with sticks, and they called him hard names. They recounted the tricks he'd played on them during the voyage there. The contrary winds, the bitter cold air, the sky as dark by day as by night. No sight of the sun, so they couldn't steer right. They banished him quick, and each declared that all their misfortune sprung from that cat. 'Twas useless for little Miss Prue to plead the part of the cat. They paid her no heed. Despite all her tears, all her protestation that she'd guard the cat against future temptation, they shook their heads. They wouldn't unbend. The cat was gone, and that was the end. Their luck, they said, was sure to mend, since they were rid of that witch's friend. Day went by. Then, into the house where they kept their grain, there crept a mouse. He spotted the fish, but turned his back and gnawed a sizable hole in a sack of precious seed, and then stole away to summon others to this play. And they came in twos and threes and dozens, and fathers and mothers and uncles and cousins and aunts and kinfolk thrice removed, and they shared this goodly store of food. The pilgrims forgot they could guard the house against every foe except a mouse. Next morning, the pilgrims opened the door to find their seed strewn over the floor. Their future harvest lay all around, the sport of mice upon the ground. "Oh, we're ruined," cried one. "Alas and alack, salvation now lies in our finding the cat." But cats, once offended, withhold their favor despite promised reforms in human behavior. The pilgrims went out through the wintry wood crying, "Come, pretty puss, pussy, be good. Here, kitty, nice kitty, here, kitty, here. Come down from the tree. There's nothing to fear. Plenty of fish. Just promise to stay in the storehouse and keep the mice away." It was all in vain. Though they pledged their word, the cat just watched them and purred and purred and cleaned himself while rejoicing that the pilgrim fathers should plead with a cat. "Oh, what cat," mused he, "held such a station? I'm surely the founding cat of the nation." And so he dallied, which wasn't nice, with our father's grain at the mercy of mice. At last the pilgrims sought Miss Smith, Prudence, God with us, Simplicity, Smith, and asked if she, representing them all, though only nine, on Puss would call, and humbly request that he would descend from out of the tree and be their friend. "Assure the cat," they said, "that we on a solemn compact will agree, binding on all, to provide him with fish by day and by night, if that is his wish, if he'll only return to us again and in the storehouse guard our grain." The pussy, of course, had no quarrel with prudence, God with us, Simplicity Smith. And as soon as she called, the cat came down, and they marched in triumph through the town to the empty place that served as a square, while shouts of joy rang through the air. In the presence of all, they signed the pact twixt Pilgrim Father and Pilgrim Cat to provide him with food and fill every need. In return, the cat would guard their seed. There's really not much more to tell. From that day forward, all went well. The winter passed, the bright spring came. The pilgrims sowed their fields with grain. Then came the harvest, a plenteous hoard, for which the pilgrims thanked the Lord. And they gave a feast, and to honor the cat, each pilgrim father removed his hat, and bowing politely, each one said, "You worked with us to win this bread. We thought you useless. Now we see we lacked a true humility. From you, we learned to respect the worth of the creatures God put on the earth." The cat, hearing this, made no demur. His sole reply was to purr and purr. And prim Miss Smith, her small head bowed, spoke to the Lord, though not aloud. "Dear Lord, will you kindly grant me that the next ship from England brings a cat, so that in this land there will always be plenty of kittens for girls like me?" Her prayer was granted. Just look around. Throughout America, cats abound. And all of them came from the same one that saved the Pilgrim Fathers, the Pilgrim Cat.